Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
How gratifying was watching that football game last night? So many different ways, whether it's Dart, whether it's Scataboo, beating the Eagles, of course, just a dominating performance pretty much from start to finish. Something we have not seen in years. Big Blue is back!
Last night was awesome, and God knows do we need it. You know, as we buried the Yankees and we buried the Mets a couple of weeks ago, the Jets don't even give you a flicker of hope here. You know, last night looked different, Sal. Last night sounded different. Last night really resonated. Jackson Dart, and I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it. Jackson Dart's going to be a superstar if he stays healthy. If they properly provide the weapons, and he's doing this with no receivers right now because we know Neighbors is out. If he has a full O-line and the coaching and all those things that you need to be very successful, Jackson Dart has every single thing that you need to be a superstar. He's got toughness. He's got moxie. The entire locker room follows him. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're from the sticks. I don't care if you're from the city. I remember Tiki always used to say this. There's certain guys who everybody will follow, all right? And he's one of those dudes. And he throws it, and he can move. And last night was a different chapter. It wasn't DeVito beating a bad team or, not that the Packers were bad, but you know what I mean. Last night felt real. Last night felt awesome, and last night feels, this is the best part, sustainable.
Yeah, Jackson Dart's an elevator. And it's not just him.
There you go.
It's Cam Scataboo as well. You could feel the energy. By the way, you could see this coming miles away, right? Now, you could have your philosophies, or we could all have our philosophies about when you'd go to the rookie quarterback. We went over all those different things. But in the preseason, you saw it. It's why a lot of Giant fans wanted Jackson Dart immediately. You could see the energy. You could see the offense. You saw it even in the glimpses when he came in Dallas, the way they were able to move the football. You saw it even in the loss last week to New Orleans, obviously in the win against the Chargers. You could just feel that the offense is different. He's different, even without Malik Neighbors, even with no wide receivers. You know, I told you yesterday, first of all, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, where there's thought of when you go to Dart, how should we go to Dart, whatever it may be. There was always the possibility that this could happen, that immediately everything can change just like that. And so far, for three games, it has. I'm not willing to say he's going to be a Hall of Famer or a superstar, all that stuff yet. I want to focus on the now. And the now is they just beat the snot out of the reigning Super Bowl champions. And the Eagles have their own problems.
Yep.
I don't care. I don't want to hear the excuses. Giants have it too. That was a real football game. That was a real football win. The fact that the Giants have been able to move the football and beat a good Chargers team a couple weeks ago, even in the loss last week, it's why I ignored the result of the loss against New Orleans. And the five turnovers on five consecutive drives, like, that's an aberration. That's not normal. That's not going to happen often. It's a rookie. It's going to happen on occasion with a rookie. He'll make more mistakes as the season goes on. But if you look at the bigger picture, the way they were able to move the football consistently, we haven't seen that from the Giants in a long time. Last night, they did it, and they did it well. They did it in front of their home crowd. You have to feel great, not only for Dart and for Scataboo and even for Dable, Mr. Mara as well, getting the game ball afterward. Like, that gives you goosebumps thinking about it.
Yep.
But BT, it felt finally, like, Big Blue football is back.
Think about some of these games that we've watched. I mean, Dallas rolling in a couple of years ago, 40-zip Dallas.
Yep.
I mean, it really does feel like it's changing, and there's so much more to go. I understand. We all understand this, but, you know, there's things that we overreact. And I've done this, like, with the Jets. Like, the Jets have, even going back to Zach, the Jets were, like, a low-scoring, ugly game. Oh, here we go. No, this is different. This just looked different. Think about all these, the game, like, the Giants couldn't win at home. The Giants couldn't beat good teams. The Giants couldn't even score touchdowns.
Yeah.
Three straight opening drives. 3 weeks in a row against two really good teams, right? And one on the road in a tough venue in the Saints, even though they lost. Three straight games, three straight opening drive touchdowns. The last time that happened was either 2008 or 2009. So it has been a long time. The head coach is revitalized. And let's say this about them, as much as this is about Dark and Scatterboo as well. You know, again, he's going to have to win some games and keep this train moving. But Daboll is basically saying, without saying it, screw you. I put my neck out there. I wanted to draft this kid, my general manager, because there was some, not discord. I don't want to, you know, create false drama. But the story was they weren't necessarily aligned. Daboll wanted him, and maybe Shane wanted somebody else. Shane said, all right, you want this guy? I'm going to give you this guy. Go get him, and now show us what you can do with him. And now we're starting to see that when Daboll has a quarterback, Daboll's offense looks a little different.
We've talked about this so many times about where the Giants went wrong as an organization. And one questionable decision, a bad decision, led to another bad decision, led to another bad decision. Well, maybe this can go back. And again, it's still very early on here in the turnaround, but obviously you saw it last night. Like you said, it just wasn't a fluke back into a win or hold on and win a game. This was different. The defense dominated as well. Like, it wasn't just about Jackson Dart showing flashes. This was a dominant performance that changed. And it's been 3 weeks in a row where you could see the offense welcoming to the, like, the offense finally has been brought to the NFL. Thank goodness. Finally, they can move the football up and down the field and score some touchdowns. So we're happy for that. So it's not just 1 week or an aberration, but maybe the decision last year, the difficult decision, in lieu of what fans were saying and what media members were saying and the way that it felt, Mr. Mara sticking with Shane and Daboll, letting them draft their own guy, and having them go at it. And now this is the reward from taking that risk, where they got their guy, and even though it started out slow this year, they made the decision to go to their rookie, and immediately you've seen a difference for 3 weeks. A significant turnaround, to your point, BT. And we're talking about this, like, I would not break up Daboll and Dart. Now we got to see what happens the rest of the way and see how it plays out, but they may have finally found the proper combination to get this team out of the abyss that they've been in for the better part of a decade.
I feel so good for Giant fans. Again, there's been a couple of little flickers and a couple of wins, not many, but a couple where, you know, yeah, you take the win, but there's nothing galvanizing about it. This is now, even with the Saints loss, back-to-back-to-back weeks of like sticking a football needle in your arm and just getting pumped up to the moon. I mean, I wish I was a Giants fan. Like, I wish I was on this ride, this early wave, this juice, this energy. Now, you talk about Mara, right? This is an important part. And again, really happy for him with the game ball, and God bless him, and hopefully he's going to be okay, and he will be, okay?
We didn't really talk about it because it came on after we were off the air, but obviously our thoughts and prayers with Mara and his family and all that.
Proud family, proud franchise, good man, even though they've been, you know, on rough ground for a while. He's a good man, right? And we're rooting for him, we're praying for him. But the for him to stick with his convictions, like, think about this. That's the toughest thing to do in a city like this. Everybody's got an opinion. Yeah. Everybody's got a phone. Everybody's got X. Everybody's got IG.
Everybody's got
the phone number. Yeah. Not everybody has a plane, but everybody can find a plane. Everybody's got a guy who knows a guy who could get you the plane. Everybody's got access to 888-808-1019, BT and Sal, Boomer, Geo, Evan and Teak, anybody that's a key to C-Mac, anybody that's on the air, Hoff on the weekends. You can call and scream, and you did, and rightfully so, about the mess, the broken, fractured disgrace that the Giants had become. And Mara ignored that. And he said, you know, for whatever reason, I'm giving it one more shot. And so far, he's being rewarded, and it's awesome. Last night was a blast for the Giants.
And before we get to the calls here, 888-808-1019, I'm not going to say that they're going to be a playoff team or any of that. I don't even really care about that at this particular moment. I think the most important thing is getting this team back on track, having them be respectable and all those different things, finding the quarterback, which you've seen here. But if you beat the Chargers, who are one of the best teams in the AFC, and you beat the Eagles, who are the reigning Super Bowl champs and one of the best teams in the NFC, that means that you can compete with anybody on any given Sunday. Mm-hmm. And even when the Giants were last good in Daboll's first year getting to the postseason, they couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. They did that with smoke and mirrors.
One division win. Yeah. They're what, 1-4-1 or something like that? Yeah.
I forget the exact
division. They tied the Commanders, they had one win.
Started out 7-2 or whatever it was, finished the season weekly, won the playoff road game, which people will say, okay, well, this is the best win since then. I think this is even better because I think it's more legitimate and there's more reason to believe that this is more sustainable than it was the way that they did it back then. Obviously, a playoff win is more gratifying. But what this win means against the Eagles, not only division team that you hate, the Super Bowl champ, and you pasted them at home with young Jackson Dart in year one, throwing Scatterboo, throwing the defense, I think this is the biggest win that they've had, even predating that Vikings playoff win, and real reason to believe that maybe they can do some damage this year.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And one more thing for Mike, talk about the schedule, right? Think about how we looked at the Giants' schedule before the season, and we're like, man, and remember, I used the word bullish. I was bullish on the Giants and the Jets. Of course, the Jets are horrible, and the Giants are starting to, you know, regenerate here. I thought both teams had a chance to be better and be interesting. But even when I was saying that, I'm looking at the schedule, I'm saying, man, how are they going to win some of these games? The Giants, how are they going to win some of these games? We're at least at a point now, to your point about the now fallibility of the Eagles and obviously beating the Chargers. You can't look at the schedule and say the Giants have no chance in that game. That is now out the window at the very least. And again, we want to stay in our lane. I don't want to get nuts. Not about the playoffs yet. But at least you can begin to kind of reset what you think that they can do. And oh yeah, by the way, the next game that the Giants play, Denver will be in London. And after they stomp and beat the hell out of the Jets,
That's in London too? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. But the Jets were in London this week. So
I knew.
Yeah, but they're playing the Broncos.
No, I thought that game in London, I thought the Giants are in Denver. No?
No. Think about it. So the Jets
are saying Denver going from London back. Yeah.
And the Giants have extra rest, Sal. After Denver beats the Jets, the Giants will be chilling. And then the Broncos did not take their bye after the London trip. So you might even get a tired Broncos team the next time the Giants play. So season's on.
Yeah, those games to me, like at Denver, at Philly, not going to be easy.
No, not going to be easy.
Right. But either way, Giants are back in business. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Patrick starts us off in Melville. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. How you doing? It's so amazing to call actual a Giant win because these are so far and few between. And the energy that Scatterboo and Dart provide is definitely real. And the great part about it is I'm so glad that Dable actually went to the quarterback because you can obviously just see the way he lifts the team. And the good thing about it is he's the alpha dog in the lineup. And that's the best thing about it because I think when you have I didn't want Neighbors to get hurt, but when Neighbors comes back, he's going to have to, like, answer the Jackson Dart. And I think everything goes through. And I think every team that's successful, the quarterback is the alpha dog. And I think that the Giants having Dart doing that, I think it's a great start.
Can I tell you one of my favorite things last night? Thank you for the call, Patrick. And there was a lot, like the energy, the dancing, the celebration, Scatterboo and his runs, Dart and his toughness. I couldn't help but think, okay, well, what does this kid do that Daniel Jones doesn't, right? We know Daniel Jones having success in Indianapolis, and not about him anymore, it's about Jackson Dart, but just comparing the young players and why one would have success and why one wouldn't. When Theo Johnson failed to look up at the ball on a route, now that's Jackson Dart's best friend, that's what everybody's saying, Dart's best friend is Theo Johnson. Right away, Dart was giving him, like, you got to look. Pointing to his eyes, like, come on, you got to look back. You can't just run the route and have your head down.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something, while Daniel Jones was tough and I think his teammates loved him, I don't think he had it to call out his teammates. You're talking about a 22-year-old rookie who will call out his teammates in that particular case. I think he'll call out anybody if need be, himself included. Mm-hmm. He stood up there after the three turnovers in the Saints loss and said, I need to be better. That's important. But when you're able to just call out a teammate if he doesn't run the right route or is not looking up, I think that's a huge thing. He's not afraid to be the leader and hold guys accountable. That is a huge part of why I think Jackson Dart has been successful.
I totally agree. And that's something that's, you know, really elusive for a lot of young kids. And not to mention he's doing this in New York with, you know, a million cameras in his face from the second that he got here. You know, because he was kind of viewed as a bit of a savior. Not like a first overall pick like a Peyton or a John Elway savior. But there was great, you know, for other teams. But they were great, or Eli. But there was great intrigue because, you know, even if you didn't watch Ole Miss play every Saturday, you just saw this juice, this athlete, this moxie. But to me, he made two throws last night. We all know he could run. Two throws that didn't even go down as receptions, both in the end zone. One, I believe, was a flag, and Theo dropped one. And
Jalen Hyatt stinks.
Yeah, I hear you. But there were two plays where he dropped it, like, on the move, over a safety in a corner. The throw, it wasn't good. It was perfect. So I look at Jackson Dart and I say, there's nothing that he can't do at a very high level.
Yeah, my biggest concern with him, and I'm sure everybody's in the same boat, just staying healthy. Like, I don't want to say he's reckless, but he's got that Josh Allen.
A little reckless.
Yeah, okay, but he's doing it for a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's smart. I think he'll get smarter. Remember, he reminds me a little bit of Josh Allen, not the exact size, but Josh Allen was like that in the beginning of his career. He was reckless, not only running, but fumbling the football. Like, maybe there's a little bit of that in Dart right now that can be taught. And he's 22. He's a rookie. He started three games. Like, there's a long way to go before he becomes a complete, polished NFL quarterback. But all the signs are there. So, anyway, my biggest concern is just his ability to stay healthy, because you're always one hit away. Yep. Knock on wood. You know, it happened last night. He's got to come off the field. Dable's going nuts.
Dable's like, get him in.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I said out loud, and I'm sitting there by myself watching, going, oh, no. That's the last thing we want to see. Outside of that, I think you have to be beyond thrilled about Jackson Dart.
Think about, no doubt, think about personality traits, right, and with your children. And if your child's quiet, it's kind of hard to rev them up. If they're not naturally funny, or that disposition to kind of talk in front of a room and kind of command the room, probably not going to be that as they get older. The one thing that I always say with young athletes, I'd much rather tame them, like, hey, listen, let's bring it in a little bit, then come on, wake up, play hard, let's go, what are you doing, come on. So I'll take the energy of Dart and the recklessness and what appears to be a little cavalier in certain spots. He's going to learn the speed of the game more. He's going to know physically what he can get away with. That will change. But give me that young buck running out of the stable, running wild, he'll figure the rest out.
Justin's calling from Phoenix, Arizona. What's up, Justin?
BT, Sal, good morning, guys. Two quick comments, and I'll let you guys go. Sal, I'm with you 110%. It is so nice to be able to go week to week. I go to work and not feel like a total loser. I get to actually go to work with some hope. I get to go to work with some excitement and not feel like that guy that's getting ridiculed for being the team with the dumpster fire as an organization. And I can't tell you how good today feels going to work on this beautiful Friday morning out here in the desert. And number two, really quick, guys. I just want you to know, I'm 37 years old. My grandparents raised me. My grandfather raised me on Mike and the Mad Dog. It was how we bonded. It was how we socialized. Like I said, I'm 37. I have a son. We, since the summer of 2023, I get to kind of go through that same process with you and BT, Sal. And I just want to thank you guys. And I just feel really grateful to be able to be living in a world where I got BT and Sal on a Monday to Friday. Go Big Blue. We'll talk to you guys soon.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much. That is very nice.
It's not about us, but it's a little piece, man. It's phenomenal to hear that. And by the way, you do it on the Free Odyssey app. He's not even on the West Coast.
I know. It's 7:20 in the morning.
He's
out
locked
there,
into BT and Sal, 7:17 out in Arizona. Giants are humming. He's awake, Sal.
I know you feel the same. That is the greatest compliment that anybody can
no
say.
Question.
We know Mike and the Mad Dog set the standard. They're the greatest ever, but hearing that makes us feel good, obviously, yep. So we appreciate that. But, yeah, you should be back and excited about your Giants. That's the point. When I say Big Blue's back, doesn't mean that they're going to go win the Super Bowl or dominate Denver next week or beat the Eagles again. By the way, they might beat the Eagles again. I'm not so sure about Denver. But it means that we're back in the NFL. We're playing. We've got games on Sunday now that matter, that you can win. Good God, there are steps along the process that you just wanted to get to. First, it was, can they actually score a touchdown? Check. They did that. Jackson Dart, okay, they could score some touchdowns. Actually, they did it with Russell Wilson a little bit in week two, but either way. And then, get some wins. Okay, check. Is it sustainable? Check. So the Giants are back in play here as far as being a real football team in the National Football League, a league filled with parity. The Giants just showed you if they can beat the Super Bowl champs, they can beat anybody.
I couldn't agree more. We did our power rankings yesterday. I still had Philly in the top two. Think about that. Philly was in my top two. And, I don't think they were in your top two. Oh, yeah, that's right. You dropped them out for the first time.
Remember, because I thought that they were going the wrong way.
No, you actually thought the Giants had a really good chance. Good job on that. Yeah. I didn't really think that would happen. And I'll gladly take the L on that to talk about something happy for once with football. But there's generally three stages of a fan's emotional hope meter, if you will. There's no hope. Which is where I am as a Jet fan. Right. No hope. And we're Giant fans, quite frankly, been for a long time. Then there's that little ray of sunshine, and you take it, but it doesn't really feel real. And that would be no disrespect, Tommy DeVito. Hey, won a couple of games, local kid, tough, scrappy, but you knew, maybe Louie didn't know this, but most other people knew that there was a ceiling for Tommy DeVito, as much as we respected him, right? Then there's last night, where you don't have to convince yourself. There's no mental gymnastics. Well, if he could do this, and if he learns how to do that, and Jackson Dart's a stud, period. Now it's up to the Giants to keep him, keep him on track and to get the right pieces around him. Absolute certified stud.
It's similar to what Jaden Daniels did with Washington. We've been talking about this. Well, we need to tap into one of our teams. Well, here it is. By the way, it is not just him. Obviously, we've got 4 hours to talk about it. We'll get into the picks and all that stuff later on as well. And Nick Costos, big Giant fan himself, he'll be on. Curious what Nick has to say about this, so he'll come on later on. Scataboo, the defense, like Burns has had a big year, Abdul Carter, Kayvon, like there are pieces here. There's reason to have legitimate belief other than, like it could also be, well, yeah, we have the quarterback, but now we need a lot of other stuff. The Giants showed last night, maybe they have finally now arrived with Brian Daboll and the Jackson Dart combination.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
My goodness, Cam Scataboo. It's one of the reasons, and you can see it early on, BT, with these two together in that backfield, the RPO, the way Scataboo runs the ball, looking for contact, looking to mash a defender, welcoming. This guy's an animal.
He is.
I just saw a clip on social media that's making the rounds now. When he was at Arizona State, he was banging his head with a helmet against a brick wall, getting ready for a game. Like, he's a different animal, Scataboo. Mm-hmm. I love the celebrations, all that stuff, the dancing, that energy is elevating to anybody who's around it. It's infectious.
Yep.
And you could feel it. So not only the skill level, but that energy alone has elevated the Giants. And that elevates the crowd. And you could feel the energy in the building. It was even before Dart set foot as a starter on the field, it meant like the energy that the crowd was going to have, you know, talking about going into that Chargers game, the excitement that we had in this town for it. Now you're seeing it come to fruition. It is refreshing. It is a joy, and it is fun to watch those two play football together.
No question. Did you see him ripping his shirt off last night with Fitzpatrick?
I did see that.
Cult hero was born, and, you know, I mean, listen, it's nice to, you said this before, use different wording, but I know what you meant. Like, welcome to the modern NFL Giants.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to have you. And, you know, the Giants traditionally have done things, you know, when they've been at their most successful, you know, a lot of sacks, a lot of defense, possess the ball, you know, whether it's the two with Parcells or even the two with Eli, the two championships. But this kind of feels a little bit in between because Dart's got, you know, wiggle and sizzle and juice and like flair, but also substance. And Scataboo is a throwback 70s, 80s, 90s kind of player. Just put your pads down and pop.
The one thing I would say, and I'm not trying to pick on Shane Bowen today, but the one thing I would say that I feel is missing from getting them to another level is aggression on defense. And he's just vanilla. He's got a vanilla personality, which is fine. Like, you don't have to be an excitable personality and all that. But his defense matches his personality. It's vanilla. It's plain. It's boring. And they have studs on defense that need to be unleashed. So I know Burns is going to do his thing, one of the league leaders in sacks. He's been having a major impact. I know they have other players on defense, even the secondary making big plays last night. You know, I think Drew Phillips is a dog, so I think they got the right guys. I think they need a defensive coordinator to match the defensive skill set, whereas Bowen is just, to me, playing it safe and too vanilla for my liking, just to get them to another level. I'm not saying that they should make a change right now.
Yeah, I got you.
Let's see how the season plays out. I'm just saying that that would be one more level of elevation I'd like to see, a more aggressive defense.
Is it benign or vanilla because he doesn't trust a couple of guys in that secondary, which is what I think it might be?
Yeah, but you
earned a little more trust last night, so maybe that changes. Maybe the very conservative approach becomes more, all right, I trust a few guys back there. Let's go eat. Let's blitz.
I think this is more his thing, but either way, I'd like to see a little more aggression from the defense, but the defense was good last night. Now, they got lucky on that botched play there, the broken play in the secondary where Jalen Hurts overthrew, was it Smith? Down the sideline,
there. Hey, wide open.
Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Ben is in Brooklyn. What's up, Ben?
Yo, BT Sal. This was a game like when I was in high school, 2010, 2011. I was watching with my high school buddies, and I was saying, Like, this feels like Justin Tuck is out here, post-human Europe, prime Eli Manning. The one thing that I really want to focus on is that everyone's been bashing Dable, Shane, flying planes, Mara, fire everyone. I called you guys last year talking about how I thought it was stupid. The main point is all those knuckleheads out there who are calling out Dable, Shane, Mara, they have to own up to the fact that we just went out there and beat the defending champion.
Hold on a sec, Ben. Hold on. I appreciate that, but it's a little early for the victory laps here. Whatever was said about either of those three men before last night was on point and accurate. I mean, they earned that criticism, Ben.
Well, no, I do. I'm not saying that all of it was gone, but like, it was basically, a lot of times you have the media come out, and fans as well, including myself, we're a little fickle, come out and say that you have these guys who, oh, it was an aberration 2022. Mm-hmm. And maybe, yes, maybe 2023 and 2024 were really terrible, and there were a couple games this season. And I do blame Dable for not starting Dart from week one. I do agree with that.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, I think people should be fair and honest. You know, and obviously, no, I'm not pumping my chest. I think they're winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I do think that they definitely have, as you both were saying, a very bright future ahead.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and thank you for the call, Ben. My whole reasoning, like each step of the way, there are different ways to attack it. After the last season, you could have made the argument, and we did. Even though I was a believer in Brian Dable, you certainly could have made the argument, start fresh now. Shane and Dable haven't done enough to show you that they can be the guys, and you're going to be taking a quarterback. So why not just get a new GM, new head coach with a new quarterback? Okay, that's one thought process. The other would have been to do what they did, keep Shane and Dable, and then say, okay, well, they got to take their quarterback, and now they've got to be here beyond just this year because there's going to be an evaluation process. And once they made the decision to keep Shane and Dable, that was where I was at. I needed to see what Dable can do with Jackson Dart. So I'm just speaking for myself. And it's not just about the results, wins and losses. Those, and I said this last week, even after the Saints lost, it's early on. It's the second week. We can't just be, well, they lost to the Saints, fire everybody. You need to see what Shane Dable, more specifically Dable, and Dart can do together the rest of the year. That's where we're at. It also shouldn't be definitive. Now, I wouldn't make a change. I'd keep them together. I said the same thing last week, so I'm going to say it again, obviously. But it also shouldn't be definitive right now. Let's see how the rest of the season plays out.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what we're doing. And some people kind of have a different timeline. Les Calder, I appreciate where you're coming from. But, you know, I would just reiterate here, multiple things could be true. You could be a train wreck and undisciplined and uninspiring and just basically inept, as the Giants have been for the last couple of years. And then you can get a couple of different players and things can, bang, change on a dime. I mean, Bill Parcells, I know we reference this a lot, but his first year was 3-12-1. He was about to get fired. And then the next year, I think they went 9-7. They won a wild card game. And then after, you know, 2 years after that, they're Super Bowl champions. So I think that we just kind of, the way it's gone, you know, people weren't calling Mike and Chris when Parcells was first coaching because there was no WFAN. The way it is now, everybody's got access. Everybody's got a megaphone for the world to hear. And when you look as bad as the Giants have looked for 80% of the Dable and Shane era, it's not unfair to say what we've said.
Also, explain to me why Daniel Jones is one of the MVPs of the league right now. But yet, Brian Dable for the last 3 years couldn't have him be successful. Like, if you're looking to knock Dable, and today's not the day to do that, certainly, and I want to see what he can do with his guy. He didn't pick Daniel Jones, but Daniel Jones is having immense success with the Colts in the first, you know, 5 weeks of the season when he couldn't do anything with the Giants for the last 3 years of their seasons under Brian Dable. So it's not like anybody who criticized Dable was wrong. To me, the criticism of Dable with Dart was wrong. Once he went with Dart, you needed to see, okay, that's it. Let's see what they could do together. And it shouldn't be an overreaction one way or another to every week. Obviously, right now, after 3 weeks, it looks great. And I would keep them together certainly throughout the rest of the year and even probably beyond that one more year just to see definitively what they could do together.
Yeah, and just to follow it up, you know, with the statement at last caller, like, it's the only thing that really bothers me is when people don't change their positions based on evidence that's provided to the contrary, right, in terms of why you first formulated your original opinion. Right. So, I mean, I'm not fully there. There's a lot of football to go. But I said as recently as 2 weeks ago, I would have fired Dable. Right. I said that right. I would not have brought him back this year. Excuse me. Now, if this continues to go well and I think there'll be some more high points this year, then I will happily say, my bad, right. Give me the L, I was wrong, he's the guy.
Similar to where last year, like I had no choice, you know I've been a Dable backer, but like at some point last year, what am I supposed to say? Oh, I still love him? And you could just be like, well, how? Based on what?
Yeah, no, where's the evidence?
I had nothing.
Yep.
So you had to be open to at least thinking, you know what, maybe he's not the right guy. Even as recently as this year, after week one, after week two, like they can't lose that game that they did to Dallas. But it's different once you go to the franchise quarterback. It's no more evaluating what Dable's done. It's about now what Dable will do with his hand-picked quarterback. Mm-hmm. And he's an offensive guy. Well, how's their offense looked in the last 3 weeks since Jackson Dart has taken over? Even with the 5 turnovers, the fact that they were driving the football 5 straight drives, to me, was impressive. The turnovers are circumstance of, you know, rookies out there.
Yep.
AJ calling from Tenafly. What's up, AJ?
Yo.
Hey, guys. I was at the game last night. What a win. My goodness. My son wanted me to take him for his 13th birthday, and I didn't want to go. Why subject myself to that emotional punishment and pay an arm and a leg to do it? But little did I know that I'd see certainly the best home win we've seen this decade. And 2 points about the game. First of all, I think one player that goes unmentioned way too much, because, yes, it's been Dart's insertion into the lineup, but Dart's insertion coincided with the return of Andrew Thomas, and the offensive line has just been a different animal since he's gotten back. And they ran the ball down the Eagles' throats last night. It wasn't a win. It was a beatdown.
Right.
And that's what's made it so amazing. And the other thing, guys, I'm not sure if you knew I was there. The biggest ovation of the game was not about any play. It was when Jackson Dart ran back onto the field after he was in the medical tent.
It was awesome.
It was unbelievable to hear the crowd respond to that. He has, I think, Sal, you said the word at the Open. He has galvanized this fan base in a way we haven't seen in a really, really, really long time, and it's just a pleasure to be a part of it.
Well, awesome going to the game, you son. Happy birthday as well. There's cheers and there's belief where if you close your eyes and you listen, you kind of tell. It's like, all right, they're responding and they're happy because of a touchdown or a win, but it's not that deepest level of, it's not coming from the deepest part of their football soul. It's like they're still trying to convince themselves, yeah, I'm happy we won, but with the DeVito stuff, and I'll mention that again. Last night, different. The Chargers game, different. That's the sound of belief. And now it's becoming, well, went from hope to belief to really rooting in conviction.
Right.
And what he said about Andrew Thomas, think about this. Now, Sal and I, every Thursday, we do our Power Up, and we give you the top 5 teams in the NFL. But before the season started, you know, we were doing Power Up, and one of the versions was the 5 most important players in New York. Andrew Thomas was number 1 for me. Like I've always said, to me, he is the most indispensable player on either team, because when he plays, they look one way. When he doesn't, they look non-functional.
Yeah, obviously they need him back, and he's been back, and they've been good because of it. I still think that they would have been better, or not better, but still good offensively once Jackson Dart took over with Scadabo, even if Thomas were to go down. There is a difference between an energy and excitement level around the backup quarterback or the rookie quarterback or the young kid, just in general, right? And initially, that was what I was thinking. Well, everybody just wants Jackson Dart because he's the unknown. He's the future. Yes, similar to what we saw, whether it's Sam Darnold, whether it's Zach Wilson, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave Daniel Jones out of it for a second. And then you watch him, and it's like, okay, well, whatever. You're excited because he's your young guy, but you sometimes you see flashes, sometimes you don't. This is different in that you had that level of excitement and intrigue. You wanted to see the rookie kid. You wanted to see the new quarterback, the future. But then when you see him and all that he encapsulates, his attitude, his moxie, his ability to lead and elevate, and then you see his skill set, which is an excitable skill set. He's not just sitting in the pocket making the proper reads. His skill set of running with the football, third down efficiency, diving for first downs, that's also exciting. Combined with one of the more exciting running backs in the league in Cam Scadabo because of his physical nature. Like, so it's not just an excitement because he's the new guy, because he's the backup, because of the unknown or the possibility of being the future. There's real, legitimate, tangible things to be excited about with Jackson Dart versus just any, well, let's see what the rookie quarterback can do.
That's why I use the word conviction. I agree. Hey, they didn't beat the Jets or the Panthers or the Raiders or the Browns last night. They beat the Eagles. That's what they did.
They stomped the Eagles.
They did. They smoked them out, and they choked them out.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I did not think that we would have this type of victory Friday, Monday, whatever, at all this year with either of these football teams. It was always going to be about, okay, well, let's see what the rookie could do and, you know, maybe move the season along and be excited. I did not think we'd be coming in off of a win like that, dominating the Philadelphia Eagles. Forget even just the Eagles, but dominating anybody of that caliber and be this excited about, you know, even though it's a 2-4 football team, still be this excited about the future of the Giants in the immediacy of this one season.
Well, listen, that's part of the reason, aside from, you know, them being out, but that's part of the reason I was so depressed with the Yankees. I'm like, think about what we're going to have to talk about. Of course, we'll get into the hot stove with both baseball teams, but it just seemed bleak and dark. And why wouldn't we think that that's what we would get? Because that's all we've gotten for a long time. Now, even if, like, this was... there's nothing that the Jets can do that would have provided that because Fields isn't the guy for the future, et cetera. So they're going to provide nothing of this kind of a jolt no matter what they do the rest of the year, I believe, unfortunately. But even with the Giants, like if this happened early December, middle December, and you got a little flicker late, Giant fans would still eat it up and so would we because, okay, hey, maybe he's the guy. But for it to happen now, with so many possibilities. Now, the schedule is still murderous, but it's at least early enough where you can at least responsibly say, why can't we mess around? And, you know, a lot of injuries happen to other teams. Maybe we get this thing going a little bit.
Think about, though, also the stage that was set. It's prime time. It's against a division rival, the reigning Super Bowl champs, with Saquon Barkley on their team, and a team that has dominated, like the Giants have been dominated in the division, period. But specifically, the disparity was thought to believe so great that the Giants didn't even really have a chance to compete.
Touchdown dogs.
Because that's what we've seen.
Yep.
Yeah, touchdown dogs at home.
I know.
Because that's what we've seen for a long time. So then to have it flipped right out of the gate where the Giants dominated that game really from the get-go, man, that is a euphoric victory. That's why you enjoy them as sports fans. It may not lead to anything. Maybe they get beat by Denver. Maybe the Eagles pay them back in a couple weeks. Maybe the Giants win, you know, 6-7 games, whatever it may be this year. But that win last night was just a euphoric win. And the caller brought this up. I was saying that I think it's even better than the playoff win against the Vikings for different reasons, meaning more about the future. I think it's more legit now than what it was even with the playoff win against the Vikings with Jones. But certainly at home, think about it. The Vikings game was on the road. When was the last time they had a home win that felt this good?
A decade. I think somebody said that on the phones earlier. I mean, they get stomped out at home. I mean, teams come in and just do whatever they want with the Giants for the last 10 years. It's amazing.
WFAN NFL Football, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Lawrence is in Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
So last night when the game started, I swear, I heard a sound clip from BT. And that was, at that point, I didn't think we had a chance in the game, right? So I was ready for that to be the highlight of my night. And then the beatdown commenced, and Philadelphia assumed the position in MetLife. And they just got clapped the whole four quarters, and it was amazing. It was one of the greatest things ever. But that's a few things. That timeout in the first half, I don't know what that was. And I feel like the Giants, they just play up to their competition. And, like, that needs to stop. If we're capable of this level of play, we need to play with this level of play consistently. And then the last thing is our defensive coordinator, when he was in Tennessee, he didn't have any identity out in Tennessee. And when he came here, he was like a second choice. So I don't really know if he's going to be able to establish the identity that we need to be ferocious on defense. But it's, the Giants are back. And Brian Daboll, I was ready to fire him. I donated to the Plains, but he can live. I forgive him. I forgive him for all of his sins. That's the type of football I want to see. And if that's what we're capable of and you can continue that, man, I'll love him. I'll love him.
We told you, Lawrence, you shouldn't be flying those planes overhead. And thank you for the call, as always.
He calls all the time.
Yeah, he was calling us before Jackson Dart's debut, saying that he chipped into the plane that was supposed to go over MetLife Stadium ahead of Dart's debut. Come on, get that thing down. Get out of there. And now Lawrence's turn, BT, much like I'm sure many Giant fans.
If you don't turn on this, then you're just miserable. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, man. We can't help you. You know, and the different stages here of a young player, and then obviously when you're a quarterback, eventually transferring into the growth of the team. First thing you got to do is show talent. He's done that. Then you got to show maturity. He's done that. Then you've got to raise the ceiling a little bit. That's why I said before, it wasn't the Browns or the Raiders or the Jets. It was Philly in your crib, prime time, as you said. It just means more. The next step is now you got to do it a little more consistently.
Yeah, now you got to sustain it.
But there's going to be some valleys, well, and that's okay.
Correct. The Saints was a valley. They beat the Chargers at home, big win. Everybody then expected them to beat the Saints, mainly because, well, the Saints stink, and this is one of the winnable games left on the schedule. But things happen. It's the NFL. Maybe it was a bad matchup for their defense against Rattler. So obviously, the five turnovers didn't help. Like, that's an aberration, but it is a rookie team. With Scadaboo being a rookie, Dart making rookie mistakes, Bo Collins not completing a route. Like, a lot led to those five turnovers. But if you watch and the ability to move the football is something that has not been there. So that was even there, even with the loss. And that proved to be the aberration, but a part of the peaks and valleys. I would expect Denver to be the better team. I mean, Denver is a better team. We'll see what happens tomorrow or Sunday morning against the Jets in London.
What do you think's going to happen?
And now it's the Jets' turn.
Yeah, okay. No. Denver 30, Jets 13. Next.
Denver's that good that this is going to be a tough spot for the Giants to go in there, but it doesn't mean that they can't have some more ups like we saw last night.
And by the way, there's wins within losses. I mean, to go out to Denver, you know, I would hope, and I think, because Giant fans are really smart, I don't mean maybe today, because there's not a lot of balance, because the emotions are all over the place, which is cool. But I do think as the next, you know, week six blends into week seven and ready to play Denver, I think the Giant fans mentally will be in a spot, they'll be fired up, they're ready, they hope they win. But as long as it's a competitive loss, and I'm not saying that you absolutely will lose, but this is what I'm talking about doing it a little bit more consistently. Go there, play a four-quarter game, give yourself a chance to win late, show some more from Dart or see some more from Dart. Same with Scadaboo. Let the defense get after Knicks. And even if you lose, you could still start to feel better about the direction, big picture, of the Giants.
More of your calls when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.